Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. The straight and narrow way, that difficult path that Jesus says is the way to heaven, but he also says it's not going to be easy. The Sermon on the Mount that is recorded for us in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, basically any teaching that's found in the New Testament can be traced to these basic principles that are taught in this great sermon. Our lessons that we're dealing with in the next few Sunday mornings is from the Beatitudes, those things that make us happy. Jesus is teaching that true happiness can be found. The world is looking for happiness, but in all the wrong places. Followers of Jesus are different. We're different than the world. I think it's important for us to remember that these characteristics that we're studying are not superhuman, super Christian, rather qualities that can be achieved by each of us in the kingdom of God. We've been talking about the idea of being happy, and are you really happy? And Jesus is dealing with, I believe, in this great text, the answer to that question. We've looked at this picture before, and just simply show you the setting of where Jesus would have taught thousands that were gathered together there at the north of the Sea of Galilee as they would listen to this great sermon that he preached. Today, we're going to be looking at verse 5. We'll be looking at, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." When we look at this idea of gentle, I think it's important for us to understand that when we consider this idea of gentleness, that this word gentleness is I believe, a very misunderstood concept. In fact, when we talk about someone being meek, when we talk about someone being humble, we're usually thinking of something as a weakness, not as a strength. I want you to understand that this idea of meekness and gentleness is not natural. We're not born with it. It's something we have to learn. It's something we have to develop in our own lives. And as we said before, Jesus is saying that the way to heaven is a straight and narrow path, and it's difficult. So this morning I want to concentrate on this particular passage as we study from this great sermon. Well, happiness here, what Jesus is saying, is really being in self-control. Taking control of one's self. The word gentleness or meekness is usually defined as submissiveness under provocation. The willingness rather to suffer than to inflict injury, according to Hendrickson. Someone has said it is the strength of weakness. Now, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to us when you first think about that. How can our weakness be a strength? Think of it maybe this way. Here's a person that has tremendous power. Here's a person that has tremendous ability and strength. And he's being opposed. And this person has the wherewithal, maybe even the right, to just wipe this particular person out. But he chooses not to. He chooses to pay no attention to the insults. He chooses not to retaliate or revenge in any way, but rather walks away. Some people would call that man a coward. Jesus would call it meekness and gentleness. I think we need to understand that when we consider this idea of meekness, that maybe this imagery would help. Now, that's a big horse. And that's a little child. The comparison of this child to this horse is quite different. But notice that this horse has been subdued. We might even say that this horse is very gentle, meek. In fact, the original word was used in the ancient Greek to simply mean an animal that has been tamed and brought under control for service. That's a picture of the definition of that word. Now, I want you to keep that in mind this morning as we think about this great beatitude. Are you happy? Are you really happy? Well, where is happiness? Well, the world says, get as strong as you can. Get as powerful as you can. Have as much influence as you can. Get all the money that you can. Get in a position, whether you have to destroy people or fight and bite and scratch to the top, you get to the top because that's where happiness is. And Jesus says, right the opposite. Happiness, oh, you may be strong, you may have power, you may have influence, but it's being humble and meek. Couple examples I want to use for you this morning to illustrate this. The first one is Abraham. Abraham was chosen of God. He was given those great promises. He had a nephew by the name of Lot, his brother's son. And they both began to prosper greatly. And the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham began to fight amongst each other, fighting for water rights, grazing rights, just fighting. Abraham comes up with a solution. He says to Lot, Lot, I'm chosen of God. I have the right to call the shots. You are beneath me. You are a servant to me. My herds and my flocks are going to stay right here. You leave and you go find someplace else to dwell. Because I am the chosen of God and I have the right to choose. Now, I think if you go back and read the story, that is not what happened. And all that I've said to you, Abraham had the right to do. But what did Abraham do? Being the rich, powerful, chosen of God man, he was meek. He was gentle. He said to Lot, you choose. Whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. That's gentleness. Another example. Moses. Moses was the great leader of the children of Israel. When you read the story of Moses, and it's a lengthy story, he is a mighty man. He's powerful. He's strong. He's influential. Yet we find a number of times that God becomes angry with Israel. And God says, Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. They're ornery. They're rebellious. And I'm just going to destroy them. And I'm going to raise up a special people from your seed. Were the people of Israel ornery and rebellious? Absolutely. Moses was their leader. In fact, he got so frustrated with them that he acted inappropriately before them and before God. And God said, you don't get to go to the promised land. Moses could have very easily have said, "Yes, Lord, you are right. These are some ornery people. I think you are to just wipe them out of existence. I'm sick of them. And raise up people from me." He could have done that. But what did Moses do? Moses was meek. In fact, the scriptures record that Moses was the meekest, gentlest, humblest man on the earth. Moses said to God, "Please don't do this. You will dishonor yourself by killing your people. Please, don't destroy Israel. Take my name out of the book of life and let their name remain." That's meekness. That is gentleness. Joseph is another example. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. And Joseph came to power. He was second in command over all of Egypt. And yea, will I say also the world. Because all the world was feeding or being fed by Egypt. And Joseph was in charge. His brothers come for food. Remember that story? Joseph recognizes them. They don't recognize him. He has the power. He has the position. And may I also include, he had the right. He had the right to punish them severely. But what did Joseph do? Joseph made it clear. He says, "Now, I want you to understand, boys. I know what you did to me. You did it because you're ornery. But there's something that I realize that's more important than that and taking revenge on you. That this was the hand of God so that I might save my people. Therefore, I'll not be giving any revenge. You do not need to fear, for I will care for you and save you." That's meekness. Well, what would you say was the greatest example of meekness? Well, I think it's recorded for us in the entire Bible, but specifically, I would like to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we find the ultimate of meekness exemplified. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 21, let's begin. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. That he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds were you healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of meekness. In what way? How could you get the Son of God on a cross unless He humbled Himself? How could you kill and torture the Son of God unless He gave Himself? You see, Jesus Christ has the power that all of His enemies could have been destroyed in just a moment. But Jesus did not do that. He did not revile in return. He did not cast insult for insult in return. Nor did he take revenge. But he gave himself. That is the ultimate example of meekness. Now, what did Jesus say about meekness? He said, "Blessed are the meek." Where is happiness? In strength and power and domination? No. In humility and meekness. That makes absolutely no sense to us. That is not how we've been raised. That is not what we're taught. That is not what we seemingly see in the world. But in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that is the attitude that we must have. You want to be happy in this life? Then you need to be meek. If we don't have meekness, we'll always be wanting to retaliate. We always want to take revenge. I grew up with a mother and a father who were 100% for saying what ought to be said and doing what ought to be done against people that have done the wrong thing. They were the ones that called attention to, "That's wrong. You messed up." And they really, most of my life knowing them, didn't have a lot of mercy in that regard. I grew up with that. I inherited that. It's in my blood. So as a preacher and teacher, I have to be very careful to be meek. You see, it's not my job to retaliate. It's not my job to take revenge. This pulpit is not to be a bully pulpit. This pulpit is not to be a place of revenge. I know that you've sinned, therefore I bring it before all to embarrass you. That is not meekness. That is not gentleness. That is not the way of Christ. Lest we conclude that sin cannot be identified, we'd be absolutely incorrect about what meekness means. Sin must be identified. But judgment and retaliation is in the hands of God, not men. Now you think about that a moment. That's difficult to control. If somebody cusses you, you might want to cuss them back. If somebody gives you the finger, you might want to give them back one too. If somebody runs you off the road, you might become angry and retaliate. You might be packing just for that purpose. That is not a citizen of the kingdom. There is a difference in protecting and retaliating. There is a difference in being guarded and safe and being aggressive and trying to make the right or the wrong right. Can you distinguish between those things? If you can, then you understand this beatitude. There is a difference. I remember my dad saying so many times, "Oh, if they just let me be president for a week, I'd straighten this country out." Well, that's exactly what meekness is not. Meekness is a quality that allows you to be in control of the situation rather than being controlled by the situation. Don't you get the idea that when Jesus was hanging up on the cross, and when you look at that picture and you read and read and read and reread the story, the account of Jesus, what we just remembered and memorialized just a moment ago. When you see Jesus upon this cross, and you see the Jews, and you see the Romans, and you see all of the hatred, who's in control of this situation? Who is in control of that situation? The world sees that Jesus is defeated. The devil saw that he got what he wanted, killing the Son of God. Who's in control in this situation? Jesus Christ is in complete control. He is meek and He is humble and He has given Himself for all of us as He hung there and He did not retaliate. He was not vengeful. He gave Himself and He is the ultimate of example of how I'm to live my life on this earth. There is happiness. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. No wonder we get so bent out of shape when people mistreat us. No wonder we become so angry and bitter and unhappy because it doesn't go the way we want it to go. So what do we say? Well, we need to take a chill pill. What's a chill pill? Well, maybe it's some nerve medicine. Maybe whatever. Do you know what is the essential ingredient that you need in your life to cool it? Is meekness. Where do you get that? where do you buy that at? You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. You remember I said earlier that the Beatitudes are not natural? They're not. The poor in spirit. Those that mourn. Those that are gentle. We're not born with that. It's a choice. You make a choice. You say, it can't be that simple. Yeah, it is. It's that simple. Someone can be irritating me and I can choose that. Or I can choose not to do that. And the one that makes the difference is me. I can't say Katie made me do it. Sarah made me do it. It's all Brenda's fault. When I am not happy, I have no one to blame but me. Because I make a choice. People are going to do you bad. People are going to hurt you. People are going to talk ugly about you. And we can spend our time living this life just being angry and mad at the world. Or you can make another choice. Get over it. Move on. And let God take care of it. And enjoy the blessings He has given us. It's a choice. It's not rocket science. It is not some major mathematical equation that we cannot possibly even find a calculator or computer to get the answer. It's a simple thing. Make a choice. Make a choice. I know what you're thinking about. What is this inherit the earth thing? Well, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? When Jesus concludes that particular remark, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, it seems as best I can understand. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom. The Beatitudes. He's talking about spiritual attitudes. And he uses what we would call Hebrew idioms. You remember the guy, a couple of guys with long beards and long hair on television a while back? And one of them was in the habit of saying, "Now we're cooking with peanut oil." Remember saying that? Well, was he cooking with peanut oil? No. Literally. What do you mean by that? Man, things are going great now. I mean, we're going the right direction now. Inheriting the earth. That was a saying. That you're in the right direction now to have the blessings that God intended for you to have. That's repeated. And if you want to check that out, look at Psalms 37. It's used about five different times in that one chapter. Psalms 37. And it mentions about doing what's right, and you shall inherit the earth. Many have taken that to mean if you serve the Lord and you're blessed, then you will have all the wealth of this land. The health and wealth gospel. It's preached by a lot of televangelists. But there's only one thing wrong with that sermon. It's absolutely incorrect. That is not the interpretation. In other words, you serve God. If you give $10,000, God will give you $20,000 back. Literally. And if you serve the Lord with all of your heart diligently, then you're not going to get cancer. That would be wonderful if that's true. But how many good Christians have you known that have served the Lord and given all that they've got and they died of cancer? Poor. That is not what that passage means. But I tell you what it does mean. God cares about our hearts while living on this earth. And He is saying to us, here's the way to be happy. You need to be meek. And when you have that kind of disposition, when you submit yourself to service, that's when you're going to be the happiest on this earth. Now, do you believe that? Do you want to be happy? Then get control of yourself. And that means controlling your passions. That means controlling your lusts. That means controlling your temper. That means controlling your mouth. That means controlling your actions. I got to tell you this quick little story. While I was in Africa, my neighbor across the street, his daughter has three pit bulls. One of those was outside, unleashed, ran across the road into my yard, growled at and chased my grandson and at my wife. When I got back from Africa, I heard that story. I'm not even going to be able to tell you in a Christian way how I felt about that. I've been bit twice by dogs that people said they won't hurt you. I am not a hater of dogs. I love dogs. But if a dog comes and barks at me and growls at me, if I have a gun, I'm going to kill him. That's my attitude. So yesterday, I've been looking for this fellow to be out in the yard. And I've been thinking about this, what I'm going to say. And I've been praying about it. I do not want this to be a war. I do not want this to be a problem. But it's a problem. I saw the man out there. I walked over and I began to talk to him. And I just prayed and prayed, please, Lord, don't let this be a major issue. And I just asked him, I said, did you know that your daughter's dog came over into my yard and was growling at my wife and my grandson? He said, no, I didn't know that. I said, Mark, his name's Mark. He's a good man, good family. And I said, Mark, I said, you have twin granddaughters. They're the cutest little things you ever seen in your life. They'll play out there in the yard, you know, when they're visiting. I said, what if I had a great big old dog and it came over into your yard and growled at your grandchildren? And I said, don't worry, he won't hurt you. He said, I'd be scared to death. He said, you can't control a dog. And I said, absolutely right. I said, we can't have that no more. I said, you need your dogs on leashes. That's the law. It'll protect your children. It's going to protect my children. He shook my hand. He said, I wish you had told me this earlier. He didn't know. I don't mind telling you that I walked away feeling relieved and grateful that did not, it could have went the other way easily. You know, sometimes we have to deal with issues and problems. Meekness is not just not dealing with it, but dealing with it as gently as you possibly can. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12? He says, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes you can do all that you can do and go the extra mile and there's still war. You know what Jesus is saying to us as Christians? We have got to try to be different than the world. I'm thankful my dad was not living and that he was not present, because he has the world's attitude. I tend to. I'm working real hard to get rid of it. What kind of attitude do you have? People who are of the kingdom of Christ are people that are poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are gentle. I got a lot to work on. What about you? Thank you for listening this morning. If you're here and not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. Becoming a Christian is a big deal. Most important thing you ever do in your life. But you know, just getting baptized and having your sins washed away, and listen to me say, just getting baptized and like that's not a big deal. That is the deal. But once you become a Christian, trying to live it, man, that's where the rubber meets the road and it gets tough. This group of people here, I believe you're trying to live like God wants you to live. We're all a work in progress, aren't we? We're trying to do better. We probably all got a long ways to go. Let's help each other. If you want to become a Christian, today would be a good time to do that. If you're a Christian and you haven't lived the way you ought to live, we can pray with you and pray for you. But just as importantly, as a Christian, you need to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself to be the right attitude. Make the right choices. I made a lot of dumb choices in my life. I'll probably make a few more. Pray for wisdom to make good choices, because I am responsible for my choices. You're responsible for your choices. And God will judge us for those choices. We can help in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?